Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Hello, friends. You know I'm Lee Brown, right? And you're back here to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today's episode is from a Canuck. We love to have some Canadians in the house. You need to stay tuned in to figure out exactly what human resources has to do with real estate. Enjoy the show and enjoy meeting Nick. So Nick, tell me exactly where you're located. How long have you been doing real estate or anything around the business?
Yeah, so I've been in real estate now. This is my eighth year. I'm in the greater Ottawa area. So that's the nation's capital of Canada. So pretty much what I would say is it's very, very similar to Raleigh, North Carolina, I would say, in terms of, you know, the tech sector, government, lots of education. You know, we have lots of universities, colleges, as well as very high-end hospitals. So kind of similar demographics in that case. But,
you know, Raleigh's got a hockey team too.
Yeah,
they got the Hurricanes.
Yeah, and we have the Senators, which, you know, sometimes each year they're not as good.
Just kidding. Yeah. I'm a Dallas Stars fan, so I had to make fun.
Gotcha. Well, you know, you had Spezza after we traded him from the Senators, which is too bad because he was a great player.
To me, my favorite player of all time is still Mike Modano, so nobody's ever come close to the aura that he cast.
I always liked Mike Modano. He was an awesome player, and just I liked his persona.
Exactly. A goalie with good teeth. I mean, yeah. That's something to be proud of. So Nick, what did you do before real estate? I mean, obviously you've been working longer than 8 years. I mean, no offense, but you know, age catches us.
Yeah, exactly. I worked in the federal government in Canada in human resources. And
are you serious? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's hilarious. I would never think that the government would have human resources departments.
Yeah. And before that, I worked at a local hospital also in human resources.
Nick, can we do a separate show sometime, Crazy Shit and Human Resources? Because $5 says, five Canadian dollars and, you know, 10 American dollars says that, 10 Canadian, five American, tells me that you've got better stories about HR and government than you'd ever have in real estate. And you can't tell them, can you? You're still bound by like some non-disclosure stuff.
Oh, as long as I don't give exact names or whatnot. Oh, I have some doozies.
I mean, government people never get fired. They're there forever. To leave, you have to be like so egregious. It's got to be amazing.
And I was in both. I was in what we call employee relations or maybe labor relations. So I dealt with all the nitty gritty, which is, you know, where the fun came from, negotiating and dealing with all different walks of life.
I like your diplomatic voice and your use of words, which is why obviously you've done well in your 8 years in real estate. Which obviously not most HR people don't land in real estate because they're so over the general public. And then you chose to work at the general public in a different fashion. So I'm so curious to hear what human resources skills have a good layover into real estate.
I think the number one is definitely that your day to day is never the same.
True.
So dealing with people, all different types of people in all different types of situations, I think is the number one that I hold, because, you know, when you're dealing with a buyer or a seller, it's never the same. So it can be the same area or type of home and price point, but the factors that you get from one another in terms of how they are, how they fear, their pros, the cons, and all that, it just changes every single day. So I think that's probably the largest component to the maneuvering from the HR world to real estate.
And you know, you mentioned the situations dealing with buyers and sellers, and we can have the same buyer and they have two different personalities on 2 days in a row because of the amount of emotion, which tells me it's definitely another play to human resources where you manage people in times of challenge and change.
100%. I think just being able to recognize and have empathy is a huge skill and one that we're tested every single day. And it goes from early in the morning to late at night. It can go through, you know, the showings to the negotiations to, you know, calming buyers off the ledge because they've just lost out on six homes. And another home comes up and they're just physically exhausted from the process. So, which is the general market here in the greater Ottawa area right now.
In the everywhere. I guess we'll just say it's in the everywhere. But it is heartbreaking, isn't it, when your buyers keep losing and they're trying so hard and they're using all of their best efforts. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And it's hard to keep persevering, especially in a post-COVID year when people are so emotionally drained by dealing with COVID and then they can't win a house. It's deflating, which tells me that you probably have some techniques and skills from your background that help you keep people moving forward. How do you keep a buyer focused on the prize when they lose over and over and over and over?
You know, again, everyone's different. However, it's you just have to continue. The motivation to purchase a home is either there or it's not. So you kind of find out quickly that if this is not exactly the timing for you, then it's probably best that you take a break. So I think that's okay too, because sometimes you think that you're looking for a house, but then, you know, other things happen in your life, or you're just always constantly not winning. Therefore, especially if you're taking feedback on ways to improve for the next time and those kind of improvements aren't being listened to, then there's probably other motivation. And the second is that everyone's going through the same thing. So you're not alone and we're all here together, and it will take what it takes to get you your home. And all I can say is that in the end, you will be happy with the home that you get and all works out the way it's supposed to.
Just like you tell employees when they have to go through compliance training one more time, we all have to do this. We know this sucks, but there's another side to it. We can make it. We can do it, right?
That's right. You have to just, you know, one thing I always do, and I'm sure a lot of others do, is just paint the process. And the process is the process. And there's factors that you can bring into each kind of negotiations or whatnot, but there is a common thread to the buying and the selling process. So just having them and kind of managing their expectations is really, really essential, especially right now.
Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content. Well, you know, the way you're describing it, I'm kind of surprised now that more HR people don't wind up in real estate. And y'all, I know that some of y'all are probably wanting to at me for making fun of government employees earlier, but simmer down because I'm not wrong. All right. So, Nick, in 8 years in real estate, I know that when you took your licensing class, you had one expectation of the business. And then with the very first client you encountered, you found out it was entirely different. So if you and I were having this cup of hot tea together, which I have to hold because my hands are freezing today, I would love to know, what's the story you'd say, look, Lee, you're never going to believe what happened in Ottawa today. What's that story that's probably Canadian in nature, but if it involves a mouse and a beer bottle, I'm going to think you made it up. And you know that movie, right? So you can think of Strange Brew, that best movie ever. It's so underappreciated, frankly.
I think
that we should appreciate Canadian stereotypes more. So without perpetuating the stereotypical Canuck, I'd love to know the story.
Oh, God, I have so many. I do have to bring up one that just happened over the weekend. I think you're going to love this one.
Remember, no names, no identifying characteristics.
None.
In case they're listening. Hey, friends, if you're listening or watching, we love you.
In this case, it was clients of mine that I was showing a property, and I arrived a tad early to the house. And as I do, I always ring the doorbell just to ensure that either another agent is not inside or the sellers. So I rang the doorbell and I took a step back and I heard some footsteps and the door opened and I almost fell. Well, I did fall almost two steps because the gentleman that came to the door came in their briefs only. And it's freezing. So I said, oh, we have a showing. And he's like, oh, I thought the showing wasn't in for another half an hour. And then I politely showed my phone that had the confirmation. And it was indeed that time frame. And the gentleman said, I will go put some clothes on right now and vacate the property. Had to walk down the driveway to my clients who had arrived and let them know that it's just going to be a couple more minutes. I was laughing. And rightly so. So I would say that that would be the most recent, and that was in the last few days. So that was exciting.
It's winter, Nick. It's winter.
It's winter, and I was a little tired from the night before, so it was just a whole lot of viewage. And I'll just leave it at that. So that's one.
And then we'd like to have eye bleach. Somebody should invent eye bleach because you'd make a fortune. Every realtor I know would buy some. So I'm going to ask the obvious question because it was asked of Bill Clinton back when he was president. Boxers or briefs, they were actually tighty whities.
They were tighty whities.
That's so gross.
It was. It was so gross. And I have to even further tell you, they were forest green.
And you can never unsee that.
I can't. And I never will. I just pictured it right now and it's just a lot.
Did your clients buy the house?
They did not.
Because if they had, you could have gotten him some Tommy John's as a closing gift. And that would have been like so priceless. Thoughtful. Because Tommy John's are expensive and you could only give those away, frankly, if the house sells.
Yes. And let's just say that the house wasn't the right
like,
fit.
No.
It wasn't the right fit. We were out of there quite quickly. That was definitely a recent.
So that's enough. Number one.
Yeah, that's. And recent. Another doozy was I was showing a property late last year, and I'm sure it's the same in your marketplace, that viewings are limited to 30 minutes, and it's only the agent and the two buyers that are going to be on title that are allowed.
And can we say amen to that? That people yes. aren't supposed to bring their little kids right now. We love your kids, friends, but looking at houses, that's not the best use of their skills as children.
Yes, yes. Or additional parents or friends or all
aunts,
them.
Uncles, cousins,
every single
neighbor.
Person. Yeah. A whole squad of people is just not gonna happen right now. So I arrived to the property again just a little bit earlier. It didn't appear that anyone was there. So I rang the doorbell and I was met by the agent at the time saying, oh, we're finishing up. We'll be gone in 1 minute. No problem. Took a step back, waited on the driveway. They left, locked up and secured the house. I went in, opened the lockbox, got in. At that time was just about to turn on some of the lights that had been off. Of course, I had my gloves and I sanitized before and masks. So I was all COVID friendly.
You were so COVID compliant. Way to go, Nick.
Yes. And then I walked into the two-piece bathroom to turn on the light. And there was a lovely gift in the toilet still there.
Come on, people. Flush the commode. Not hard.
And you're not supposed to be using people's washrooms during this time. And if you are, you know,
just cover your tracks. I mean, right. Cover your tracks.
Flush, clean, done.
And frankly, and let's just be honest, Nick, shouldn't we live like that in non-COVID times?
Like to me, this is just basic human nature.
However, we all have been washing our hands too, but I digress.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is that at this point, you know, in your general life, you're in someone's home. You should at least flush the toilet. So that was interesting. And so I flushed and cleaned and then re-cleaned. And that's just how I am.
So did nobody tell you that when you got your real estate license that you would have to clean up after people like you have a two-year-old?
No.
They didn't?
No. I did not get my cleaning license as well. But it is one of those skills that you definitely have to have. And as anyone knows that's working with me in the last year during COVID, I have a wonderful Lululemon bag that I hang from my hand that has, let's just say, every single cleaning supply known to mankind. And I look like a homeless person. I'm just bags around, and you know what? But they come into handy for extra masks, extra gloves.
You never know, right? And think about it. When you find it in the store, you kind of have to stock up. That's probably why you have all the different scents and brands so you can
be accommodating. But something tells me, Nick, if you did meet the homeless man, you'd hook him up with a mask and 100%. Sanitizer if he needed it.
Oh, yeah, because that would just be smart.
It'd be kind. I mean, COVID is such a weird era.
Oh, it is. And I always say it's COVID craziness. And there are just people who it's a lot on their plate, and people have lost some of their personal, just common nature, I guess, that because of everything going on and being locked up and just going through what everyone's going through, have lost a little bit who they are, and maybe right from wrong, I'm just going to say. But that, to me, like, you should not be leaving your blank.
You shouldn't leave anything behind. We should leave nothing behind.
Just clean up after yourself. Just be respectful of the property you're in. But that was definitely a good one. And then one that I would say was a little bit more lighthearted would be that we were inside a house. I was with a single buyer. He was a gentleman. And we were seeing the property on the main level. And this house was gorgeous, lots of windows, and it was a sunny day. So it was perfect. So we were going through the main level, and my client said, Nick, I think there's someone outside. And I said, oh, well, you know, we just started our showing. Maybe people arrived early. You know, like, we have our time, not a problem. And then I didn't see anyone. So we continued through the house. And as I'm about to show the kitchen, there is a patio door. And at the patio door is a gentleman, a wife, and it appeared to be either a mother or mother-in-law that were like this in the window.
Okay.
And so I went like this, and they went like this. And then I said, where's your agent? And they said, oh, we arrived early. Don't worry. We're just going to look in through the windows. So they continued that. We focused on the rest of the house. We went up to the second level, looked around, did the basement, and came back up. And they were then peering through the front living room window. So I just politely asked them if they could just kind of step back. We are leaving the property and we'll lock up. And then their realtor was walking up the driveway. And I just let the realtor know that their clients had shown up, you know, 25 minutes early and were outside peering in the windows the entire time. So just wanted to give you a heads up that if that happens again, you know, that at least you're aware. And the realtor said to me, well, they're outside, so it's not a big deal at all. And I said, no, not a big deal at all. Just extremely, there was no privacy and extremely annoying. So I hope that the next realtor does the same thing to you.
See, you were trying to be kind and gracious. Fine. What you just said, we've been losing during the COVID era, that ability to say, let's work this out, because people going around the house like this can totally creep you out and distract you from looking at the walls and the rooms and the closets.
It was creepy. And you just had the sense that, you know, they're watching, and it was not inviting. Long story short, it wasn't the right property for my client at the time, regardless. However, it did impact how the home was perceived because of that.
I will say that is one of the craziest things about real estate, that it's hard to understand until you're in the middle of it. Because from the outside, when you're a buyer, you're thinking about buying, you look online, you're like, oh, you know, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, no big deal. So you think you're looking at the house itself, but as Nick's talking about here, it's the scenario out by the people outside the window, or many of our other episodes, the signs in the yard, the angry neighbor, the things that happen. It can take your mind in an entirely different way, because y'all, you can't forget, real estate is big and expensive and crazy emotional, and you don't want those wildly negative, weird vibes coming in to distract you from bedrooms, bathrooms, and kitchens. And as realtors, it's one of our hardest jobs, wouldn't you agree, Nick, to try to keep somebody focused when there's external factors at play that we can't control?
And that's part of the thing is that there's what we can control, and then there's what others do. And like with my clients, we have a process. This is how we do it. And we don't go outside that, because we're professional and my clients are great and we love working together. But I do let them know that you're going to see things that you're not going to be happy about. You're going to see things that, you know, that you wouldn't do as a home buyer, but not everyone has the same advice or the same professionalism. So we will just do what we do, see the properties, you know, be respectful and lock up and leave. And so that's all we can do, really. But then we can come on a podcast like this and have some fun sharing stories, which, to be honest, there's countless and countless stories.
It goes on for days. But guys, what I want you to take away from this is, first of all, let your realtor help you manage emotions. Second of all, clean up after yourself. And third of all, if you're the other agent, be kind when the other realtor's trying to help you. So, Nick, if anybody needs an amazing realtor in Ottawa or they want to hear some crazy stories about HR, how can they reach you and your amazing business?
Absolutely. So I'm all on all socials, and my website's nickkite.com. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. It's at Nick J. Kite, and that's K-Y-T-E, not K-I-T-E, which everyone thinks flying high, but no, it's with a Y, not an I.
And that will be such good marketing in a marijuana-friendly world. What are you thinking, Nick? Change your last name spelling.
But yeah, absolutely on that, and just love social media. Just really enjoy it. And you know, enjoy this business too, and all the quirkiness and craziness that comes with it.
Well, there you go, guys. And I know you didn't write it down because you're listening to the Canadian accent. You're thinking, oh, he sounds so nice, because Canadians are known for being nice. So don't worry, because I put everything in the show notes for the episode so y'all can reach out to Nick afterwards and let him guide you in the Ottawa process. Nick, thank you for coming on the show and for helping remind us that human resources people can make amazing realtors. And you're pretty good at keeping your cards close to your vest. If your clients are listening, y'all should give Nick a high five for not telling your names in his story. So good job. And I appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure. It was an absolute blast. It's so much fun. Thank you.
Well, good. Well, we'll see you next time, right?
Absolutely. Would love to. I'll come on anytime.
There you go. All right, friends, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss if Nick ever comes back again, or other Canadians, Americans, Australians. I think that's the... I don't think I had any other countries yet. So y'all need to step it up, friends. Subscribe for more. Give me 5 stars, because any fewer and I might have to go work in HR, and that would not work well for anybody. So I appreciate you coming to the show. We'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.